Good morning, everyone. Let's start with prayer. Our God and Father, once again, we're here on this Sunday morning to start our day with you and worship you. Lord, we love you and we love to serve you and just want to hear from you at this moment. Father, I ask that you minister to us and feed us from your word. Help us get stronger and closer to you. The whole thing is to be like Jesus, and we ask that you would help us in that and just make us more like him every day. So just minister through your word now, and we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Almost a little chilly this morning. Guess we should have set up in the sun instead of in the shade. Oh, well. Something I want to talk about today, and I'm sure we've talked about this before, but it came up here about a week ago or so. We talked about it in the Bible study that we were having. And, you know, there's a lot of people that actually think that they're not good enough for God. And that's really a sad thing. I mean, for somebody to think they're not worthy of God at all. And I just want to read a little bit out of the Bible and talk about that. And the person I'm going to use, most all of you know him, is Paul. I want to read about the Apostle Paul. And it says, "For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." So Paul was the guy that went around persecuting the church way back in the beginning. And he truly believed, I mean, he was a believer in God, but this guy, you know, just because somebody believes in God doesn't necessarily mean they're doing the right thing. And this guy, he actually thought that the new Christian way was wrong, and it was his job to exterminate all the Christians. I mean, I want to go on and I want to read just a little clip out of the book of Acts. And there was a guy named Stephen who was ministering to people and stuff. And they decided to stone him because they didn't like what he was doing. So it says, "Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people." So this guy was going around doing that, and of course they didn't like it. And then further down then, you know, they take him to the edge of town to stone him. And it says, "While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he fell on his knees and cried out, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' When he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was there giving approval to his death." So Saul, man, this is how zealous Paul was about all this. I mean, he approved of that death. And if we want to read even more about him, you know, later down in the chapter, it says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest, asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way," which that's what they called the Christians back then, "whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem." So he made that his life's work. He's going to get rid of all the Christians because the way was the wrong way to go, according to him. And I mean, he approved of murder. He, you know, had people arrested and all kinds of stuff. And you would think if anybody is not worthy of God's love, I would probably think, you know, if that's probably a person right there. I mean, he's 100% against what Jesus stood for. But let's read on. You know, was he good enough for God? Now, most of us, you know about Paul, and yes, he was. But let's see what the Bible says. He says here in 1 Timothy, he's writing to Timothy, he says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord," and this is Paul speaking, "who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service." Now, wait a minute. This guy was... Earlier, he was trying to exterminate the church. Now, it says that Jesus appointed him to service. It goes on and says, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. In other words, he was forgiven for what he did because he didn't know any better. He thought he was doing the right thing. And because of that, he was still forgiven. It says, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me. In other words, forgiveness. Abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So it's because of Jesus Christ, even Paul, who was trying to exterminate all the Christians, was still accepted by Jesus Christ. And we read on, he says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul considered himself one of the worst. Now, is there people that do worse things than what Paul did? Well, I'd say approving of murder and that kind of stuff, I don't think you can get a whole lot worse, but I mean, there's some pretty twisted people in this world nowadays, but Paul received forgiveness for what he did, and he says it wasn't because of what he did. See, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So it was Jesus' job to come to the end of the world to save sinners. And then he goes on, he says, but for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. So in other words, if you want an example of someone that was forgiven, even so he was a bad person, if you want to call him that, Paul is the perfect example. And he even says it, you know, he's being used as an example for us. So when you run into people and talk to people and think they're not worthy of God, I don't think that's possible. There's no one that's unworthy of God. And if you go on, if we go to Hebrews, I want to read a little bit. It says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. So when you talk to this individual that thinks he's not good enough for God to accept him, he's not good enough for forgiveness. Well, if you go by what the priests were doing, just doing regular sacrifices, well, they don't wipe out sin. They don't get rid of sin. That doesn't get rid of sin. It was, all that really was a picture of what was going to happen. So no, that won't give that person forgiveness. But if we go on and read further down, it says, but when this priest, and they're talking about Jesus here, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. So basically what happened, and all of you know this already, but I like repeating it. You know, Jesus came to this earth. He died for the sins that we all commit. And because he was a perfect person, this is something that you think about. It's a little hard to understand. Now, Jesus came to this world as a man, but he was still God. That's why, you know, some people call him the God-man. And he was 100% God, but he was 100% man. As human beings, for us, that's hard to understand. But because of that, when he came to this earth, he lived a perfect life. And because of living a perfect life, his sacrifice is perfect forgiveness. And we can all be forgiven for our sins, including somebody like Paul that was approving a murder and arresting people, trying to get rid of the Christian way. Well, so like I read in verse 12, when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. So after Jesus was buried, was crucified and died on the cross, they buried him. He rose 3 days later, and then after he showed himself to a lot of people to prove that he had risen, he went to heaven, and now he's sitting there with God the Father preparing the way for us. He's sitting up there. He's interceding for us, basically, is what the Bible says. So like when God looks at you, or any of you, no matter how good or bad, if we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, God looks at us through him. So even so, once we're saved, a lot of us still mess up and we still do things that we ought to not do. We can be forgiven for that. All we got to do is say, man, I'm sorry. And God forgives us because he looks at us through what Jesus did, which is perfect. He sees us as perfect beings because of that. And that is a great thing. But the whole point of this message is that there isn't anyone that could do anything that would be so bad that God would not want them. It just ain't going to happen. If he can take somebody like Paul, he can take anybody. But in order for them to be forgiven, they have to truly accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And you hear this said a lot of times. You know, you say a prayer. You know, it could go something like this. You know, Father, I have sinned. You know, I'm really sorry that I sinned. I seek your forgiveness. Because of what Jesus did for me, I know that I can get that forgiveness. So come into my heart now and take over my life. That would be a prayer that could save a person. But the one thing that's the punchline to all this, it has to be truly from the heart. It can't just be something you say and then you go on about your merry way. It's got to be truly from the heart. And when it's from the heart, change will happen. Change in your heart will happen. That is guaranteed through the scripture. And when that change happens, you got to respond to it. Because if you just go back to your life as you knew it before and just don't change anything, you know, they talk about there's a parable of a sower, you know, where there's out, he's sowing the field, and some of it falls on hard ground and it just dies because it has no roots. Well, the same way, if you want to receive Jesus, you make that decision, you got to fertilize that ground to where you can grow in that, where you can get stronger in Jesus and be able to live for him. Then you can truly be saved. So if there's anyone this morning that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior yet, I would say if you feel him knocking on your heart, it's time to make that choice. It's time to ask him into your heart. Once you ask him into your heart, you're forgiven forever. Nobody can ever take that away from you. But he does want us to live for him, because you know, that makes you his child. Is the way the Bible says. We're children of God. And once we're his children, we want to please him. So it's like we want to please our parents, we should want to please him. And once we do that, there is nothing that can ever separate us from Christ. And with that, I would like to close. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for your word. And we've said this, you know, many times before, and we said it again today. There's no one that is not good enough for you. If it took being good before we come to know you, none of us would make it. But you accept us just as we are. It's just like you're this big doctor, and we're sick people, and we come to you, and then you heal us. We don't get healed and then go to the doctor. It just doesn't work. So we thank you so much for the fact that you can accept us no matter what. We thank you so much that you gave us Jesus. That Jesus was willing to come and die for us. And die for us on that cross to pay for our sins. So now we have a chance to spend eternity with you in heaven. We thank you for that. Lord, if there's anyone here that hasn't made that decision, I ask that you'd knock on their heart. Remind them. You never know when your last day is, and that decision needs to be made. Things need to be set straight. Thank you. As we get ready to go racing, Lord, I ask that you protect everyone here, watch over them. Lord, let us have a beautiful day. It looks like the weather will be great and awesome. Father, I ask for protection on everyone out there on the track today. Yesterday, a lot of people fell, including myself. Lord, we don't really need that. We don't like that. So we just ask that you would watch over everyone on and off the track. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.